Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. And the fourth stanza, revive us again, fill each heart with Thy love, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. And then the chorus, hallelujah, Thine the glory, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. From Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. These are Paul's words to the church at Rome, and also to us. And certainly, as we will try to see in a few moments, Paul speaks from experience. He isn't one that teaches others and has not experienced it himself. Let's pray that we will learn from it and we will also be ready to do, as Paul wrote, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. That's an if that has to be filled. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for every blessing given. And we pray, Father, in his name for every blessing needed, that we might also have the blessing spoken of here, especially at the end of repentance and into faith, that we have the blessing of the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit, as Peter spoke of it on the day of Pentecost, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and as Paul speaks of it here to this church at Rome, and also the suffering that comes with it, if so be that we suffer with him. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt teach us these things through Paul and through thy Holy Spirit, making us willing to suffer. As thou hast also said, Paul writing to Timothy, that they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And Father, we tremble and we fear, because we are not really suffering persecution in our area, in our nation, and though there is the speaking of it for the future. And we pray that if it does come, we might be ready, and that we might live more godly in thee, Lord Jesus, that it will bring persecution, as thou hast said. And these things we know must be, and they are together. And we pray that we might rightly understand them, we might rightly be ready to receive them in experience. And we pray, Father, for such a reviving that may bring persecution in our individual lives, in the church, in our homes, and then that the church might again be a salt and a light in our nation and in every other nation as well. We pray, Father, for thy word also to be sent to those that have not heard it or not hearing it. We pray that many laborers might be sent into all nations, tongues, and tribes, that soon it might be fulfilled what the psalmist has spoken of and prophesied, that all the ends of the earth shall hear and fear and turn unto thee. We pray that in this time of falling away, there might be such a reviving that will be fulfilled. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs. We give thanks for those that we have in food and raiment in such abundance when many others are suffering. And we pray for them that thou in mercy will look upon them and give the hungry food, the homeless their homes, many that have been destroyed in fire, wind, and hurricane, earthquake. We pray for them and pray for those that are helping them. We pray for many other needs that there are, for the sick, the injured, that they might experience healing. And as the virus is raging throughout the world, and we pray that it may soon lessen and come to an end, we pray, Father, for those that are suffering with it, that they might be healed. We pray that thou protect us from it, if we have stayed in the way of the blessing of health. We pray for many other blessings that there are, especially in the broken homes, that they might be restored, and the children of those homes might be led and blessed and kept by thee. We pray that thou would teach the church that what thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder, and that there might be a change from all the broken homes into the healings and the right way taught by the church and then practiced. We ask it all and give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. As we look at these words, we have looked at them before in the light of the Lord Jesus himself suffering. We need to know that first. If we do not know him as suffering for us, we will not rightly be thankful to God, not only in suffering, but also as we read from the pen of John and his epistles, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And we could say much the same in suffering. It didn't start with our suffering. We didn't pay for our salvation by suffering, but Christ did. Christ alone on the cross. Yes, Christ alone on the cross. And as we sang last week, I will sing of my Redeemer. Yes, our Redeemer, who was crucified for us, suffered that terrible death. And here Paul writes, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He certainly experienced that himself. He did fulfill what he wrote in the verse prior to that. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we might be glorified together. Paul speaks in the verses following of the suffering that does take place. in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. In the 23rd verse, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we also groan within ourselves. Paul did that, as we could see in the last chapter. He groaned within himself because of sin, stating, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he also could give the answer, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But along with it, there is the suffering in the world. And as we said, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And many are suffering. Many are in prison today. Many have died. Some would say that the persecution is worse in our present time than ever before. I'm not sure how they know how it is, but I know there is terrible persecution in some countries, and it is worse, and we should pray for them that God will be merciful to them and show them the blessing promised. As the Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They will have inward blessing when they have outward suffering. And I would like to look today at some of Paul's sufferings when he says we groan within ourselves. Paul did that, as I said, from probably two reasons. One is the suffering of his own sin, and the other was the suffering because of his righteousness that he made known and preached Christ faithfully. We can see that in his suffering. We think of when he was traveling, he went to Iconium, went to the synagogue of the Jews. He preached there, and sometimes they would think that he and Barnabas were gods. And shortly after that, the Jews would come and turn the people against him. And we can read shortly after that in Acts chapter 14, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium and persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he arose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Can you imagine what that's like? People throwing stones at you till you're dead. And here he appeared to be dead, laying on the ground without moving for a time. But when they were around about him, he rose up. So whether it was miraculous or whether exactly how it took place, we don't know. But it was the stoning that brought Paul to the ground. We know that later in Philippi, Paul also had persecution there. When he cast an evil spirit out of a girl, we read that they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs that are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. There they had done a miracle, casting an evil spirit out of a girl. They had been preaching. They had the blessing and the preaching. What did they do? We read, And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They continued to be a witness in the prison. That has happened many times, even in our country, sadly, that preachers were put in prison for preaching something different than what others believed, especially in Virginia and some of those areas further south in the 1700s. People were put in prison. People would come and listen to them. And they finally realized that in putting the preachers in prison, they were gathering more people than they had before that. So they stopped putting them in prison. But numbers of them in our country, in its early history, were put in prison until finally we had the government to stay out of church. And before that, the government and church was one in many places, wrongly. They came here for freedom, but they soon persecuted others. And here Paul sang praises with Silas. The prisoners heard them, and not only that, suddenly there was an earthquake. And then we have the story of the Philippian jailer asking, what must I do to be saved? And Paul telling him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And then Philippian jailer took him into the house, and we read, he spake the word of the Lord to him and to all that was in his house. And then the jailer took him, washed their stripes, it must have been bloody, so bad they were beaten. And then we read, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Paul preached to all in the house. All were baptized. All rejoiced. It was a household of believer baptism. A whole household. How wonderful. When Christ was on earth, he spoke of one against another. Mother against the daughter. Father against the son. Mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law. Division that he spoke of would be there. And there certainly has been. But here was one wonderful place, even beyond the blessing of Abraham. Abraham had 8 sons, one by a bondwoman, other by Sarah, other by his later marriage after Sarah died, and only one son was a son of faith, son of blessing, son of promise, Isaac. Isaac had 2 sons, Jacob and Esau. One was beloved, the other not, left to himself. And we can have others like that when we think of later with the priest and the judges, Eli, even Samuel. His sons did not follow him. Here we read, all rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Oh, how we need to pray for a return of that today. Both preachers like Paul that are willing to suffer and the blessing on the message that is preached, even in suffering. We can think also of Paul then, shortly after that, visiting many different places, starting different churches, sometimes driven out of the city, as he was in Thessalonica, and then finally going to Jerusalem. He went to the temple to worship and do his ways of wanting to enter there, bringing offerings with others, doing everything right. But we read that somebody saw him there and accused him of bringing Greeks into the temple. And we read, the city was moved, and the people ran together and took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And they went about to kill him. Tidings came to the chief captain of the band that was in Jerusalem that all the city was in uproar. And the captain immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left off beating Paul. If it wouldn't have been for the Romans, the Jews would have killed their fellow Jew, their fellow Pharisee. Later, after he was taken to the temple, Paul spoke again. And the next day, when he was speaking, there was a divided group, Sadducees and Pharisees. Paul said he was a Pharisee, and out of that, the two groups divided and argued. One thought Paul was all right, and the other one not. And we read there arose a great dissension. And the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. Once again, the Romans had to rescue Paul from his fellow Jews. When he wrote to the church at Rome, first chapter we had some time ago, we read that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And some translations give it also to the Gentiles, which comes to us. Yes, the Jews had it first. Abraham was promised that Christ was going to come, and in him, Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The Jew first. And Paul preached to them first. When he would go to a Gentile city, he would often seek out the synagogue and preach there. Sometimes the Greeks and others would want to hear him, but the Jews would often rise up against him and persecute him in those places as well as they did here in Jerusalem. Later, he wrote to the Corinthians, and we can read how he suffered and how he rehearsed that to them. in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, "For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even to this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, being persecuted we suffer it, being defamed we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world." That's a picture of Paul's life, summing it up. Hungry, thirsty, buffeted, no place to dwell in. He labored with his own hands. He was a tent maker. He wasn't chargeable to any of the people where he went to preach, but yet being persecuted. Even as he wrote to one church, the Galatians, after the church started and were blessed, he said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Oh, how Paul suffered with Christ as an example. And we read that not only in the first letter that he wrote to them, in the second letter, we read it also in second letter, chapter 6, in verse 4, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things." That's Paul, the apostle, telling us that we are children of God if we suffer with Christ. And he certainly did. Listen again to some of those words. "In stripes, beat many times, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in fastings." And then once more, he spoke to that same church, summing up his sufferings when the Corinthians questioned sometimes of Paul, and he had to write in defense, especially in the first epistle. In the second epistle, he could write how they repented and had a godly sorrow. But even there, he still had to defend himself, seemingly, and he asked this question, as we see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep." Shouldn't that always make us weep, what Paul had to suffer? Verse 26, "In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." And then one of the other burdens that he had to carry, "beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Some were thankful, like the Ephesians, when he left there the last time, recorded in Acts chapter 20, weeping because they would see him no more. And others, as I mentioned before, the Galatians, that he had to ask, "Am I become your enemy?" But he had care for all of those, the Galatians as well as the others. Then we can come to the last part of Paul's life as he writes to Timothy. After all of this, And after the time that he was there in Jerusalem, when the Romans rescued him, when there was the danger of being torn apart, after that he was brought to Caesarea, and then from Caesarea brought to Rome, and imprisoned there. Many of the letters he wrote that are called prison epistles. During that time, he also wrote to Timothy. In the second letter to Timothy, he knew that his life would soon be at an end. And he writes this to Timothy. First of all, exhorting him, the time will come when they will turn away the truth and shall be turned into fables. They would not endure sound doctrine. But he was leaving. And he stated these words to Timothy. For now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. And then he also tells Timothy to do his diligence to come to him, and he mentions how Demas had forsaken him, loving this present world. There were those kind that forsook. Judas forsook Christ. Demas forsook Paul. John also forsook Paul and Barnabas. But later, evidently, he was reconciled, and he writes to Timothy to take John with him. He is profitable for me. So there was a restoring there. But here, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Is it any wonder that Christ had to say to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? This is part of it. Not everybody experiences what Paul did. Most people don't. But some people are experiencing that today. And it's part of the kingdom of God. And it is what Paul writes to the church at Rome. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Suffer with him. We saw last week how the prophet spoke of Christ's suffering before time, how he himself mentioned that I'm going to suffer, die, rise again. The apostles didn't understand it. They were afraid to ask him. And one time when Peter did seem to understand it, he said, this be it far from thee, this shall not be. And Christ had to rebuke them for it. They did not understand their sinness against God like Paul did. Paul learned it very well and said, I died. Sin became exceeding sinful, not only in the beginning of his salvation, but later as an apostle, writing to Timothy and stating, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That was Paul. Paul the apostle. Paul chosen by Christ and suffering with Christ and his example to us, as well as a very plain teacher, a wonderful teacher. Let's hear his words. So be ready to be hearers and doers of the word, lest we have a house built on the sand, of which Christ said, and great will be the fall of it. Build your house on the rock, Christ. Paul did. He learned of Christ. He followed Christ. And he said, be ye followers of me, as I am of Christ. Again, let's say with the songwriter, revive us again.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.